Again, I'd like to thank Randy and having this, and he's disappointed with the turnout. Anytime you do something the first time, you can expect that, but I think it's a great idea for us to have at least something during the fall, and especially on the Buckeyes off day. That's a real good timing mechanism for that, and we're so glad that we had that. We're glad to participate in it. You know, I've just enjoyed listening to everybody today so much, but the one thing that we share that is so vitally important is that the role of elders is so much of a responsibility, because as we look out over the people we work with, every one of those people have an eternal soul that elders are invested in. And our job that has been given to us is to make sure with every fiber of our being that we do everything we can to get that person to change from the physical being that they see themselves into the spiritual being that God needs them to be. It's a transformation. The Christian life is a continual consecration, a continual changing and growing in your relationship with God. And elders have to set an expectation and set a direction for members of the body of Christ. Randy's asked me to speak on this role because he asked me what's the hardest thing in being an elder, the question he asked all of us. And I said the importance of the congregation understanding how we rule in matters of judgment. And it's so important that we go back and we look in the Old Testament and recognize that leadership of God's people is something that's not uncommon. It's happened since the beginning of time. And when you turn over to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and God meets with Abraham, and he chooses Abraham, he chooses him for a reason. And one of the reasons that God chooses Abraham is because his regard for who God is and his law. He looks at Abraham and he says, I know Abraham will have them obey me, that he will keep my law. Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. God looked for men that cared about what he wanted, cares about what God says about things. And when you're looking for men to be elders, they need to have a profound, deep respect for who God is and what his law is. In fact, when you look in the Bible, it talks about Abraham obeying the law, Nehemiah reading the law. The law is mentioned time and time again, and how people related to that law showed their respect for God and how they revered who God was. So when you're talking about the work of elders and making judgments, the one thing I think is really important is we understand that they have a regard for God's law. They make judgments based upon God's law. They care about what he thinks. They care about what he would have us to do. In Isaiah, the 33rd chapter, verse 22, for Jehovah is our judge. Jehovah is our lawgiver. Jehovah is our king. He will save us. God presents to us laws. He presents to us how he wants us to live, what he wants us to be. God sets it all out there for us. In the book of James, we're told that God has the authority. Be subject, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to draw near to God. We need to be concerned about what God wants. And the elders that rule need to understand that God is the lawgiver. In verse 10 of James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he'll exalt you. Verse 12, one only is the lawgiver and the judge. God is the lawgiver. He's the one we look to. He's the one that we live for. He's the one that sets the standard for us. And all this is said because people want to know about the elders' rule in making judgments. Well, let me just say this. All law proceeds from God. Please understand that. All law proceeds from God, and there's not an elder alive that can make a law. Amen. Not one. So when we're talking about elders making judgments, you need to understand this very important point. When we're talking about judgments, we're not talking about making laws. Elders have no right and no authority. There's only one lawgiver. And there's only one judge of that law, and that's God. So when we talk about the responsibility, let's go now look at Christ. Let's talk about authority. When you look at our Savior, he states in Matthew, the 28th chapter, in verse 18, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and you teach them to observe all things that I have commanded. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age." The book of John, Jesus claims, "I did not come of my own will. I came to express the will of him who sent me." Jesus came to express God's will. "I'm not speaking of my own initiative. I'm speaking because of what God has said for me to say." Because God's the lawgiver. And when you think of Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, it says that God has put everything under Christ except God himself. So all the authority that exists in the world comes from God, and God gives Jesus Christ authority over his people. And I think this is really important, because when we talk about the elder's responsibility, we need to recognize in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, that God put all things under his feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Christ is the head over all things to the church. And who made him the head over all things to the church? God did. God made him head over all things to the church. So, all authority comes from God, and God gave all authority as head over all things to the church, to Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you something. No eldership exists that could take the authority of Jesus Christ away as head over all things to the church. There is not an eldership that exists that can do that. So when we're talking about elders ruling in the matter of judging, we're not talking about them making laws, and we're not talking about them taking the authority of Christ. That's not what judgments are. The problem is people are always confused. They're confused about what elders do. They think if elders make a judgment, oh, you're making a law. No, the law belongs to God. The judgments, the authority belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this about Jesus. He dispersed what we call limited authority. Now, for all of you that are here, you're saying this is a basic lesson in authority. You are absolutely right. Because you ask, by what authority do elders make judgments? And I'm going to tell you by what authority elders make judgments. But it's the same authority that we understand in this line. Jesus Christ himself being head over all things to the church, he said unto his apostles, "Teach them to observe all things that I command." Who commands? I command. The apostles had no right to go out and teach people their opinion. They had no right to go out and make up their own doctrine. Jesus said, "You teach them what I command." Because why? Because I'm the authority. All authority is mine in heaven and on earth. And I got it from God. He gave it to me. And he's put all things under my feet. And I'm head over all things to the church. Jesus is the authority. And we are to teach and observe what he commands. John 20, 21, Jesus says, "As the Father," to the apostles, says, "As the Father sent me, I now send you." Did Jesus give them any authority? I'm sending you just like God sent me. And you go a little bit further. He'll tell them in John 14 through 16 that I'm going away so the Comforter will come. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to send him to you. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've taught. He's going to tell you exactly what I want you to say. I'm going to give you the avenue by which you can tell people how they're to live their life. I'm going to give it to you through the Holy Spirit. So he gave the apostles this unbelievable task of, through the Holy Spirit, revealing, bringing to their remembrance what he said, revealing what he wanted people to know. And Paul says in Ephesians, you can understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. God gave it to us, we wrote it down, and you can read and you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How did that all happen? Well, God made the law, he gave the authority to Jesus, Jesus gave the Spirit to the apostles through inspiration wrote it down, and when we read, we can know exactly what God wants us to do. Exactly what God wants us to do. Now, we can go a little bit further, and we can say in Matthew 10:19-20, Jesus even told them, don't worry, you're going to stand before kings, you're going to stand before a lot of people, and don't worry about what you're going to say. Why not? Because the Spirit's going to be with you, and he will tell you what to say when you need to say it. Now the apostles had that. Jesus gave the apostles the Spirit of God, that when they were in front of people and they didn't know what to say, he said, don't worry about it, the Spirit will give it to you. The apostles had that. Jesus Christ gave that to them. You know who doesn't have that? Well, I just want you to know, there's not an eldership that is known to man. The apostles received authority from Jesus, revealed his truth. But there's not an eldership known to man that can reveal unheard truths from God. Not one. God makes the law. Jesus has the authority. The Holy Spirit guided his men to teach what needed to be taught. And they revealed it through the written word, and Jesus even put it in their mouth when they needed to speak it. They had all that, and we have the written word written down here so we can see it. There's not an eldership in the United States that can speak because God has revealed to them through the Spirit something that has not already been revealed according to law. Do we all understand it? I think we do, don't we? All right, well, let's go a little bit further. Let's talk about what the responsibility of the elders are in matters of doctrine. Now, matters of doctrine, let's define this. Jesus taught the things we should do, the way we should live, and he taught us everything. In fact, I think Peter said he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through a true knowledge of him. So the Spirit revealed it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says the inspiration of God inspired the word to be given to us so that we know exactly what we need to do. We've got everything that God instructs us to be within his word. Every command to follow, every statute to obey, every way that we should do it, the attitudes we need to have in life, the priorities we need to have in life, how we treat our wives, how we treat our children, how we labor in the workforce. Everything that we need to know about living godly lives is contained within God's word. God's already made the standard for it. The law's there. And there isn't an eldership in the world that has the right to say anything different than what God says in that. But the responsibility of the elders in matters of doctrine is pretty important. In matters of doctrines, Titus 1 verse 9 says, we need to hold fast faithful words. And that's what elders need to do. Elders need to pour their nose right in the middle of this book. And we need to speak teachings that God has said. That's all we need to do. We need to teach what God teaches, what God has revealed through the Spirit, what Christ has authorized. That's what we need to do. Well, you know, in fact, in matters of doctrine, we're told in Titus 1:9, sound doctrine, exhort and convince. The job of us, we're to take sound doctrine and we're to exhort people or to convict them, convince them, teach them with sound doctrine. We didn't establish it. It was given by God through the authority of Jesus Christ by the Spirit under the apostles. That's our job as elders. But you know, it even says in 1 Timothy 3:2, we need to be able to teach those things. So elders are to teach what God has revealed. Well, okay, but what does that have to do with what we do in the matter of judgment? I would just have to tell you the elders in matters of judgment is something that we need to come to terms with, because it doesn't deal with law, because the law is already there. It doesn't deal with who's the head of the church, because Jesus will always be head over the church. It doesn't deal with doctrine, because that's already set. The role of elders does not make any of those things, change any of those things. But what we're given as elders is the responsibility to administrate those things and to watch over the flock in the best way we know to accomplish that God's law be kept, and that his word be taught, and that Christians be exhorted and encouraged and built up and driven to know God better. So when we talk about elders in the matter of judgment, I go all the way back to the book of Genesis. It says, "For I know him," talking about Abraham again, "that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the ways of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken." Folks, the promise that we have before us is eternal life. Now, the promise, we can talk about the promise to Abraham, but you know, when he chose Abraham, he will command his children and his household after me. You want to look at the job of an elder? You know, Brother, he said it, the model is the family. When you're looking at elders, the model is the family. And here it says he will command his children and his household after him. Elders have the responsibility of commanding and leading and directing those people to honor God, to respect God, and to show forth God's word in everything that we do. He says to do righteousness. Righteousness is based upon law. How do you judge if somebody's righteous? Well, here's the law, and righteousness is doing it. Unrighteousness is not doing it. You know what? We need to be teaching people what it means to be righteous. Do the law. We need to execute justice. When people don't do the law, we've got to make decisions. It's, you know, God in the Old Testament, law, he had laws there, and then he had disciplines for the violation of the law. He tells us what the law is, and it's a responsibility of the elders to lead their children, to lead the flock of God, to be obedient to the law. And when they're not obedient to the law, it's our job to administrate what needs to be done to correct that issue. God hasn't told us every step to make necessarily that we have to do that, but we need to know what righteousness is, and that's obedience to what God has said. We need to know what justice is. Hebrews states it, and some of the brethren have been through this already this morning. Remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you God's word, or the word of God, and consider the issues of their life. Imitate their faith. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit unto them. Why? Because they're giving you law? No. It's God's law. For they watch on behalf of your soul, and they'll give account, that they may do with joy, not with grief, this be unprofitable for you. Elders must focus on, number one, what is commanded, number two, what is condemned, and number three, proper actions of how to address and enforce all the principles that God lays out for us. That's what elders do. Now, I did this to come a long way to get to one point. The hardest thing about being an elder, and I expressed to Randy, is the attitude that we're just men and it's your opinion. And I want to take you to a couple things. First of all, we are told to oversee and to feed the flock. We're given this charge. We're called to instruct, to rule, and to watch over their souls. But there's several things that the congregation need to understand. When you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, I want you always to remember that the head over all things to the church is Jesus Christ. I want you to always remember in Acts 20 that the church was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember Matthew the 16th chapter. When Peter confessed that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus says, upon that rock I will build my church. The church belongs to Jesus Christ. He is head over all things to that church. He is the Savior of the body. And what he does in putting that church together is a pretty interesting thing. He provides for it in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, before he went on high and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And it's talking about Jesus Christ. And he gave some to be apostles. Now I want you to understand, Jesus gave these men, these apostles, who he sent the Spirit of God to, and these apostles would go out and spread this message. They'd send this message, and they'd speak from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they would reveal what Christ wanted them to reveal. And you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, we don't have apostles anymore. We do have apostles anymore. Those apostles are contained right in here. And what they did is contained right in here. And Jesus gave some to be apostles. And not only that, there were spiritual gifts. The apostles laid hands on people, and people could prophesy God's word, and it was recorded. And he gave some to be prophets. We have the complete word of God, everything we need to know. God gave some to be apostles, and he gave some to be prophets, so we could have every word that he needed us to know. Jesus structured his church. He built his church on the fact that he gave apostles and prophets. And you know what else he did? He gave evangelists, men that are to proclaim the message of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus put evangelists in his church for a purpose of spreading the gospel message. You agree? And then for some reason, he put pastors in this church. Well, he didn't need them to make law, did he? He didn't need them to take over the authority of the church, did he? And he didn't need them to go evangelize the world. He had men to do that. We got Brother Heath and Brother Randy. We got Brother Matt, Brother Mike. A lot of people go out and preach the gospel. But he had these pastors, these shepherds, that were going to take the flock that the Word of God provided through inspiration, that the evangelists went out and taught, that they become, with Christ, a body, his church. They're baptized into Jesus Christ. They put on Christ. And the Lord adds to the church daily to being saved. And all of a sudden, he's got this church, this organization, because the word's being taught, the law's being given, and he's got these people that are baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And there's this organization. So what does Jesus do for this organization when he builds his church? He puts these shepherds here. And these shepherds here have to take these sheep that have been born by the water and spirit. They got to take these sheep that have been led to know God through the inspired word that's been revealed. They got to take these sheep and they've got to move them to where they can graze. They got to watch out for these sheep. They got to take these sheep, and there's times that they have to pick them up and they have to carry them back into the pen. Maybe they have to dip their feet. That's kind of disgusting. But maybe they got to take these sheep and pick them up. You know, sometimes shepherds even got to shear the sheep. Sometimes we have to perform surgery on the sheep. The message of the gospel is presented. Evangelists are out there teaching it. And when a person is saved, the Lord adds them to this body, his church. And then they become part of a fellowship that Jesus put pastors over to protect them, to feed them, to guide them, to lead them, to love them, and to keep them. Our job is awesome. Our job is great. And then somebody looks at the elder and says, what gives you the right? Let me answer this. Jesus Christ. He put me in his church in this position to do the work that he designed for me to do. He didn't put me there to make law. He put me there to make judgment. You know, people say, well, what kind of judgments? Well, you know something? My job as an elder with the other elders is to feed the flock. You know, how are we going to feed that flock? Well, tradition got down to the point that we'd feed that flock on Sunday morning at 9:30 and then Sunday morning at 10:30. And then we'd feed that flock at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and we'd feed that flock on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we'd feed that flock that way. And every congregation thought you fed the flock the same way. You know what elders needed to do? Elders needed to recognize the autonomy of the local congregation and say, we have special needs, we have a special flock, and here's what we need to do to feed them. And elders are making decisions, we need to feed the flock. You two have to get together and say, what's the best way for us to feed the flock? Now, there's some law in there. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Hobart, Randy can't change that. Jesus put the first day, that's when he resurrected. They can't change that. That's what he put in the church. But I want to tell you something. If Randy and Hobart decide at 6:30 in the morning is the best time for the services here to accommodate the congregation, and they decide 6:30, just because somebody doesn't like that time, that doesn't mean they're lording over the flock. It means they're leading the flock. What if Hobart and Randy decide we're having services now at noon? Because, you know, we have people at work stay, have to be out late Sunday night. We're going to meet at noon. We're going to meet for 2 hours. We're going to study God's Word. We're going to have a communion service. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to do everything that the Lord expects. But he said, we're going to do it. We're going to do it at noon. And then we're done for the day. Oh, my word, I can't believe you guys are liberal. You've changed everything. You know what they've done? They've made a judgment of what needs to be done at the church of Carlisle, New Carlisle. And so what happens living in America is every member of the body of Christ thinks they have a right to say, well, I like that. I don't like that. Let me just tell you something. Let me tell you what your right is. Your right is as a member of this congregation for your elders that are working in matter of judgment. Let me tell you your right. The Lord says your right is submit to those that have the rule over. The elders making decisions on the best way to feed the flock is nobody's job but theirs. Jesus Christ gave it to them. Read Ephesians 4. He put them in the church to do that. They don't make law. They don't have authority. They have a job. And the job is they are to lead the flock. You know, I remember, and you guys might not remember this, but I remember the first time Kettering changed their hours and when we were going to have services. Randy's right. We do have a good family around here, but there was times when it was kind of strained between the congregations. Kettering started being talked of as being way out here. And let me just tell you, some of you Fruit of the Looms, you're way out there now too. The elders of Kettering made a decision to best suit the needs of feeding the flock at Kettering. Did we care what Noah was doing? Couldn't give a flip. That's Mike's job. That's Mike's and John's job. Do we care what they're doing over West Carolina? No. That's Ben and Mike's job. And Benny's. The elders made a decision that this is what we need to do at Kettering to better facilitate the job that Jesus has given us as leaders of the church at Kettering to feed the flock of God which is among us. We didn't change one law. We didn't seize authority from Jesus Christ. We did our job. Now, let me ask you something. You think we ever had any members say, well, you know, I don't like that? And so our answer to those members was simple. It says, is there something we're violating in God's word? Are we breaking any law? No, I just don't like it. Are we violating the authority of Jesus Christ? No, I just don't like it. So, what members of the church are saying is you have to like the decisions of the elders before they have the authority to rule over you. Well, let me just tell you something. That's not what Jesus said. He said, submit to those that have the rule over you. They watch for your soul. When congregations start debating whether the elders have the right to make choices, which they sit down and talk about and think about how to best feed the flock and protect the flock and guide the flock, you might as well throw the eldership right out the window. They can't do their job. Could you imagine you walking up to your father and asking your physical, earthly father, who is the head over your household, who the wife's in submission to, who the children are to be in submission to with all gravity, can you imagine you walking up to your father and says, and what gives you the right? Well, 168 hours from the time I did that, I'd pick my teeth up off the floor. My father would have knocked my teeth out if I ever talked to him that way. And let me explain this to you in the easiest way that I can. A lack of respect for the elders to make judgments in how they will feed and instruct and direct the flock is making, get this clear, is objecting to Christ's right to rule over his church. You better think twice before you start complaining about the eldership. Because it wasn't men that put him there. It was Jesus Christ that put him there. He's the one that built his church that way. He's the one that gave them the position to administrate his word, his work, and his purpose. Well, you're just lording it over us. Oh, that's an easy thing. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to lord it over anybody at Kettering. My job is to get them to heaven. And I'm going to do everything to get them there. But you know, the problem is, there's some people that would rather fight than go to heaven. See, you lead by example, but there's times when you have to lead by saying, this is my job. I would like you to agree with it, but whether you agree with it or not, we've been called by God to do a job, and we're going to do it. There have been too many elderships in this country that abdicated their responsibility because they were afraid of the response of the body of Christ. Shame on them. Shame on them. God calls men that love him, but he calls men that have the will to stand up for him and make his church everything that he intends it to be. If the church at Kettering is having a problem submitting to the elders, then we need to address those people that have that problem lovingly, caringly. But they need to understand in those uncertain terms that this is what Jesus wanted in his church. If there's not doctrine that's being violated, if the law is not being broken, if the authority of Christ is not being taken away, he put the elders here to make those decisions. Now, I just want to talk to you about a couple things that we've had to deal with at Kettering over a period of time. And they're not issues at Kettering. But long before I was an elder, the elders at Kettering, people got very laxed about their attitude in worshiping God. In fact, they were aware that this, we commemorate every Lord's Day on the first day of the week, is the body and the blood of our Savior, who came from heaven to come into this world to die for what we've done. It's a sacred thing. It's something that should be honored. And the Church of Kettering had men getting up on the table with pullover shirts on with writing on them. You know, Sunoco, whatever the writing was. And the elders addressed the men and said, guys, listen, you're on the schedule to get up and wait on the table. We've got visitors in the audience. This is the memorial of the death of Jesus Christ. Would you walk into a funeral with that shirt on? Would that show respect for that person? Why would you think about doing that when you're serving the Lord's Supper? We think you should think more about the way that you present yourself when we're doing something that solemn. That's what the elders ask. 2 weeks later, a guy got up to wait on the Lord's table. Not only did he have a pullover t-shirt on, it said Budweiser on it. And the elder said, from this time forward, you will wear a shirt and a tie when you're going to wait upon the Lord's table. We're making that judgment because we want it to be respectful. Man comes up and says, you have no authority to do that. And I just want you to know that, yes, we do. That's a judgment. It's a judgment of how this body needs to show respect. It's a judgment that we're making. We're not saying somebody's unholy if they don't wear that, but we're saying we're trying to display an attitude. That's a judgment that the elders were making. Does that mean that you have to like that judgment? No. But let me ask you, how hard is it for you to submit your will to the will of the men that have the responsibility of encouraging this congregation? How tough is that? Now, if the elders at Kettering would have said, this is a law, either you do this or we're withdrawing from you, that may have been a different thing. All they said is, if you want to wait on the table and be part of that, we're asking that you consider these things. Elders have to deal with that all the time. And the problem is people may not even understand it. You may have a babe in Christ that doesn't have any idea of what that means there. But these are older men that are making judgments. And every time you make a judgment as an elder, most times you're going to have somebody that has some problem with it. But remember, God makes the law. The authority is Christ. He built his church. And in his church, he put the elders to do the job of making those judgments. And it says in Hebrews 13, don't make it difficult on them. They're watching for your soul. Make it a situation where you work with them so that it's good. An eldership can only be successful when men love God and want to do the right thing, and when those people, that flock among them, respect the fact that they have the true intent of serving God, and it's pure, and that desire is good. Then we submit to one another. Ephesians 5, the husbands love to say, the head, husband's head of the wife. The wife's to submit to the husband. Well, read another passage in there. It says, submit yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. We need to be people that love each other enough to recognize the role that each person has in this body. And everybody's important. In fact, if you go on down to Ephesians 4:16, the building up of the body of Christ is for a purpose, so that every joint can supply to the building up of the body in love. The elders are working for that. It's a great work. I'll tell you, I'm pretty complimented. Rich left, said we've had 4 elders for a year. It must be going pretty good. It's been 2. So, that's a good thing. He doesn't think he thinks it's only been a year. But the thing that makes it the hardest is when people get their feelings hurt or when it's about how they feel. Instead about, we're trying to do what the Lord needs us to do to make things better. I want you to pray a lot for Randy and Hogan, if you're a member of this congregation. If you're a member of Knollwood, Mike and John need your prayers. And I want to tell you something. Every once in a while I get a note from a member that thanks me for all the sacrifices. Now, you can't believe the pump that gives you when somebody recognizes that. I want you to pray if you're at Bath Road. Pray for your elders. Don't make it difficult for them.
Make their work that you're supporting, you're strengthening, you're standing behind them. Because I'm sure all of you want to go to heaven too. And that's what they want for you.
You know, to close, I just want to say one thing. My wife is a wonderful person.
But I would have to tell you that most of the people that sit in this congregation have no clue of how many hours these guys spend doing what they do. I'll tell you a story about my wife. We were at a birthday party a couple weeks ago. She walked up to one of the elders at Kettering, and she said, I'd like a meeting with the elders. And he looked at her and says, what? She says, I need a meeting with the elders. And he says, why do you need a meeting with the elders? And she says, so I can see my husband. I'll send the rest of you home when I get you there. I work in a secular job 40 hours a week. I work in this job 168 hours a week. Every minute of my life is about serving God. To get you home requires every ounce that I have. And I gladly give. Because someday, we will all stand in front of the throne of God to glorify Him forever. And what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Respect your elders. Love your elders. Support your elders, for they watch for your soul. Thank you.